that all fit together. Now, tonight, we move on. These are Paul's last words. And we learn what to do with someone who causes us much harm. That's the first thing we're going to learn. And then the second thing, if no one stands with us, what happens and what do we do? So this is good. We just are inching along in the end here. This is so rich with and so full of wisdom. You know, Paul is at the end of his life. He is just sharing his heart with Timothy and sharing his life with Timothy. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then here's some just words of wisdom for him. So I pray that God speaks to us in this tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Pray that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you that you do strengthen us. We're going to learn tonight, and we thank you for that. Your strengthening and your comforting. And do give us your spirit poured out upon us tonight as we hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You must also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Okay, to get the background and the story of this, we have to go to Acts. So let's quickly do that. I don't know if we're going to read much, but just so you know, for your reference in the future, where it talks a lot about Ephesus, and this is where Timothy was, Ephesus, and where Timothy remained, where Timothy was living, most likely at this time, where Paul is writing to Timothy, we know. But chapter 19 in Acts tells us a lot about what happened in Ephesus when Paul was there. Basically, it's this whole chapter in chapter 19. I wish we could read it all. We're not going to. But I want to read verse 20. It said, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Acts 19, chapter 19, verse 20. So God was really moving. The word of God was prevailing. And things were happening to further the kingdom of Christ. Now, we know when that happens that the enemy doesn't like it, and the enemy gets upset, and he counteracts that. And so sure enough, we have in verse 23, it says, about that time there arose a great commotion about the way, about Jesus, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. Of course, there's money involved. When it hits the pocketbook, it starts to hit the fan, if you will. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, and he goes on to say, we won't read it all, but he says, hey, what's going on? There's this guy. He's preaching Jesus. He's preaching the way. Well, Diana's the way. This false god that we're making shrines. We're making money off all these shrines. What if this becomes more popular than Diana, we start losing all of our profit. We're out of a job. When it comes to somebody's job, it gets really personal. And if you start messing with people's work, at our work, they've been laying off more people. And then everyone gets in a commotion and they say, you know, what's going on? What's going on? And then the boss calls a big meeting. Okay, let me tell you what really happened. So it just gets personal. But there's money involved. We hear Demetrius starts it all. But so Demetrius was a silversmith. Alexander was a coppersmith. Same thing. You know, they were working together. And it says, you know, Demetrius calls Alexander and a bunch of his other cohorts and says, you know, so there's a big uproar. Again, I wish we could read it all. We just can't right now. But go read chapter 19. It's awesome how God moves. And there's this big uproar, and the whole city goes to the theater, and the city clerk gets involved, and he said, you know, let's tone it down. You can take them to court. Paul wants to go out and speak to them, but his disciples won't let him. Anyway, It's really good. But we see Alexander the coppersmith. Now, I skipped a portion on purpose. Now, Timothy was not there at this time. And how do we know that? Let's jump back a little bit. Verse 22. So Paul, sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. So Timothy missed this whole ordeal. Timothy was gone. He wasn't there when this all happened, so he didn't physically see it. He didn't physically know what happened. And here Paul is saying, don't even worry about Demetrius right now. No, he doesn't say that. He says, Alexander the coppersmith, that's the one. He's still in town. He lives in your town. If he comes by, and he tells him what to do. Interesting, he doesn't say, you know, you take care of him. You beat him up. He doesn't say that. He says, God will take care of him. God is our judge. And that's what he's just reminding Timothy. God will take care of him. He did me wrong. You reap what you sow. And God will make sure he gets what he deserves. You don't have to worry about him. However, beware. 2 Timothy 4. Let's go back there. Beware. Beware of him. For he has greatly resisted our words. So if someone has already resisted our words, you know, we've come to him and we've hashed it out and, you know, he's preaching the gospel here and it's this big resistance. God will deal with them. And let's beware of those, you know, that do that. They're in. Paul said to the elders of the Ephesian church. He said, beware. There's going to be a good shepherd. There's going to be, have your staff ready. There's going to be wolves that are going to come in. Be on the lookout. So he gives us this warning. We don't have to do much. The Lord's going to take care of him. The Lord's going to repay him. He's going to reward him, the King James Version said, according to his works. But beware. He's already greatly resisted our words. Some commentators say that, you know, he was in the church and he was being nice to Timothy. We don't know that, but either way, let's beware of those who have already resisted. We know they've already resisted our words. Let's beware. We don't need to mess with them. The story hasn't changed. Verse 16, let's go on. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so at my first defense, this could be when Paul's in front of Felix or when he's in Rome and he's standing up and sharing his testimony of all what happened, but regardless of what it really is, what I want to hit tonight is no one stood with him, but all forsook him. May it not be charged against them. He says something totally different versus Alexander the coppersmith. You know, the Lord's going to deal with him strongly. But now, those who didn't stand with him, he's like, Lord, forgive them. They didn't know better. So he has this forgiving attitude to those who forsook him. But I want to talk a little bit about forsaking, being forsaken by those around us. And interestingly enough, you know, I'm preparing for this and I'm starting to drift back to my own situation in my own life. And I'm starting to hash out this whole past 8 months of my life and with our house and what we're going to do and this and that. And there's been a lot of forsaking. I felt a lot of forsaking of me and of what, and I was just thinking, you know, I want to start again, and I want to rehash it all again for, you know, those I love, my mom and my brother-in-law and my sister And I want them to not forsake me. And ironically enough, then this comes, and I'm like, it's funny because I was drifting right as I'm getting into this section. And here it gives us the answer. If we are forsaken by men, which we will be, that's okay. God is going to stand with us. We were reading just last night in Psalm 27, 9 and 10. Psalm 27. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to read it, but if you want to jot it down, it's a good verse. Psalm 20, good verses. Psalm 27, 9 and 10. This is the Psalm of David, and he's just pleading, crying out to the Lord. Let me start in verse 8. It says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you," he's talking to God, "'Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me.'" Here's just a request of him to be not forsaken by the Lord. "O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." So even if we are forsaken by our father and our mother, the Lord will take care of us. Isn't that precious? How God will take care of us. We learn in the New Testament and the Old Testament, the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there, and he's closer than a brother. Isaiah 41:10 is another one. In this whole chapter of Isaiah 41, talks about it. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And again, this is another one. I wish we could read the whole thing, but we can't right now. But go home and read it. It talks all about how God is with us. He'll never leave us. And if those that are with us forsake us, that he will be there, he will help us, he will strengthen us. Now we remember in Jesus, when Jesus was on this earth, he was trying to tell his disciples, he said, "This is what's going to happen. I'm going to be crucified, and then I'm going to rise again from the dead." And he told them that a couple times. And they didn't get it. They still didn't get it. "I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners." They didn't quite get it. But then in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, both Matthew and Mark, I believe, tell us they all forsook him and fled. So Jesus' disciples forsook him, and those that were with Paul forsook him. We are in good company if we're being forsaken by those that we love, those that support us. We talked a couple weeks ago how Moses was, when he was tired, Aaron and Hur helped Moses' hands. They held him up so that he could win the battle. And so it's wonderful. My point is, it's wonderful when we do have that support. But even if we don't have that support, it's God holding us up, holding our hands up, and it's God right there standing with us. I was trying to find a calendar entry that I just read, but I couldn't find it. It was a short little testimony that you read in the morning or whatnot. And it says, "Isn't it wonderful that heaven is on your side? Heaven stands for you." And if God is for us, obviously who or what can be against us? There's one more point I had with this. Sometimes people won't understand our situation, but God is on our side. And especially if we are right before him and we are pure before him, you know, people might not always understand and might not always get it. We've had a lot of people tell us in the past couple of weeks, it doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense to my brain. But God is on our side. And really, God, why is God on our side? God is for us. He wants us to fulfill what he's called us to do. And this is what Paul was called to do, that he might preach fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. We learn in Acts and throughout the other epistles, this was really his mission when he came to know the Lord. I think that's all we're going to do tonight. We're just inching along. I don't think we're going to. I can't do it. There's still too much here. There's too much. Yeah, I do have a short section on this, but there's still more that he was delivered and the Lord will deliver me. So that's all tonight. Just nice and easy. What to do with those who resist our words. God will take care of them. And just beware. And then, when no one stands with us, just know that the Lord will be, the Lord will stand for us and with us. So, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd be glorified here tonight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Thank you for this encouragement and help us to continue to do what you've called us to do, to fulfill our ministry, to make full proof of our ministry, as we learned a few weeks ago, Lord. And I just thank you for your promises, that they never fail. They are yes and amen. And so be it, Lord. We thank you. Continue to work in our hearts and our lives and transform us as we stay close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.